Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And my friend, the Lord has much to say to his people upon the earth. You know it's time for the Lord's return. The Lord, his return is so imminent. It's never been so imminent as it is right now. I thank God for his mighty return. And many things are going to be put to order in these days. And the Lord is perfect in all of his ways. I told my wife recently that anybody that can receive his help, he will make sure he do his part to help them. The Lord raises up people for people. Every anointing that he gives people is something he uses to help mankind. Now, the Lord is saying so much to his people in these days. And he's using the resources of those that are yielded to him. So many times people, they stop yielding to the Lord. And Jesus said, take another look at the forgotten scripture again. And, you know, as God give, you know, whenever you put that on my heart, I'm going to talk about it. And it's important that we take heed to the forgotten scripture. And I talked about it in Sunday school. He brought it to me again in Sunday school this Sunday. We had Sunday school. We have it once a month now. And I thank God for what he's doing. But when you yield to him, it gives the Holy Spirit a chance to operate. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's what Paul said. He said, he knows how to be abased and he knows how to abound. That's two extremes. And then he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the opposite is true. If you don't cooperate with the Lord, you can't do all things. Just because we have covenant with God don't mean that we have that we can do all things without his guidance. See, I know the difference. When I do things that God tells me to do, it's perfectly evaluated. The timing is right. The people are there to hear, with ears to hear. He's raised up people for such a time as this. They won't discredit the revelation. And see, just because you receive a revelation don't mean everybody will receive it yet. And I had to learn that. People that I felt like they were ahead of me in ministry, well, surely they'll receive this revelation. No, it doesn't work that way. And the revelation is received by those that have received it. It doesn't matter how far ahead of you they are in ministry or not. That's irrelevant. Having ears to hear is our responsibility. And I pointed out, you know, recently, like a week ago, sometimes people, they hear the word with Satan's ears, which means you can't serve pride. If you're in pride, you're not going to hear what God has to say. You won't be people that's proud like Satan was. They can't understand. They can hear the same message, but their response is totally opposite to those that are pure in heart. See, we forgot something. There are tares among the wheat. Well, some people say, well, there's no tares in my church. We preach the word. Well, that's lovely. And I would love for that to be certain, but that's not the way it is. There are tares among the wheat. Now, the reason I brought up the tares is because of the Laodicean church. And for 6 months last year, the Lord helped me understand much knowledge about the Laodicean church. And at the end of his teaching, he said, he just told me straight out, they're tares. And Jesus addressed them as if they were not his people. Now, I said, Lord, before he told me that, I said, what is with the Laodicean church? Why don't they listen? Why don't they repent? He said they won't budge. I said, you know, he kept bringing up the Laodicean church, and I did a lot of warnings. Even the first of the year this year, the first few broadcasts, I mentioned a lot of things about the Laodicean church, and I was learning it as I went along with it. And then he got to one. He said that I said, "What's with the Laodicean church?" He said, "They won't budge. They won't repent. They don't see that." First of all, he said that they don't see their condition. Then Jesus told about their condition, that they were miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. So they can't see their spiritual condition. They assess themselves to be godly because they have success. You know, they have worldly possessions. But see, worldly possessions don't mean that you're right with God. Only the blood of Jesus makes you right with God. And having a heart full of love. See, it's just like this. A person that loves God, I meet all kind of Christian people. And I found what Jesus said to be true. They that were forgiven much, love much. I know people right now. They did things, they want drugs, whatever. And then they got saved. And they love God. Every time you see them, they have that covenant smile on their face. I mean, every time you see them. And they talk, they're honoring God with their life. Everything they do is worship. They don't want to do anything wrong. They don't want to hurt anybody. They want to bless everybody. And these are the kind of people I believe that'll be raptured first and foremost. And then you have those that complain all the time. Nothing's good enough. Somebody's always bothering. Now they love God, but they don't, you know, they always got a problem. They don't have that joy on the inside like they should. Like those that just love God. Some people love God. And when the word of God is spoken, they receive it. And they want more. And they don't get jealous. And sometimes people love God, but they want to be first. See, you can't hear God's word with Satan's ears. And the example I gave, you know, Deuteronomy 28. You know that part where on chapter 13, verse 13 says, let's see what it is. I'll mess it up if I try to use my memory. And see, Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses is blessing. What will happen if people just obey God? See, and I gave this example. I'll do it again. He said, verse 1 says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken," which means listen and internalize, diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations. Now, I just read verse 1, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. A humble man that loves God and want to do right, and he's thankful that God is, and God loves him, he heard every word in that verse and rejoices over it. But the proud-hearted, all they hear is that God will set them on high above all the nations. The part where, the first part, "And it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day." Now that's the part that got taken from them. Because the proud heart has no intention of observing the principles of God. Now they heard it before, and you'll see people say, "Well, I know that," but they don't really get it. And they have, and see, in their ways, they're gonna go and do their will. They're not gonna stop doing their will. But they include themselves. And there's a reason for it. See, the Lord gave me this little nugget a few weeks ago, or last week. He said, "Pride never disapproves itself. It seeks praise unto hatred." It never disapproves itself. It always approves itself. It gives itself a stamp of approval. And it looks within. Why wouldn't God love me? I did God a favor by getting saved. Why wouldn't he care about me? I'm the smartest one he got. That's how pride thinks. But it's nothing like God, not pride. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the ways of pride. So when people become proud, that's what they become like. And then they even listen to the word with Satan's ears. And then they start desiring the things that Satan would be desiring. They want to be first. They want to be the best. They want to be preeminent. See, it doesn't matter what God is doing. And then when they hear the good part, oh, yes, yes, I believe that. He said, I'll start in the middle. To observe and do all this commandment which I commanded this day. Now watch this part. This is the part they'll grab. That the Lord will set thee on high above all nations. Now they hear that. And they'll quote that. And they'll desire that. And they'll want to go forward in that. But they didn't hear the first part, listening, hearkening diligently to the voice of the Lord, which Moses gave. But the proud mind, they say, well, I could do what Moses do. People have said things like that and gotten in trouble. Even Moses can say it. You know, we hear from God too. But that don't mean that you got to continue to listen to the Lord. You got to hearken diligently to his voice through whoever he decides to use. See, I'm showing you these things, the difference between a sound mind, which is those that love God, and an unsound mind, which is a proud mind, which loves the world. See, if you love something that Satan's got, then remember, whatever he's got, whatever he's doing, whatever trouble he's causing, if you love it a little bit, or if you allow it, it comes in your life like living, and it starts working against the knowledge of God. It happens to everybody that falls in love with the word. They always become the enemy of God. And they still think that they're right. That's the problem with this. See, tares and wheat don't think similarly. They think opposite. Now, before I go to 1 John, let's look at this one. Verse 13, Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. I skipped 12 verses or 11 verses to get here. A lot of the things that Moses said in his discourse, it would appeal to wheat and tares. Parts of it, all of it to the wheat and some of it to the tares. Selective hearing is something we all can understand. Children hear what they want. There are things they want to hear and there are things they don't want to hear. Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And when you think a certain way, you're going to respond in that way, you know. Now, my daughter Shana, she loves God. She's a wonderful lady of God. You know, I love her. But when she was a kid, I whispered, I said, Shana, come here. She didn't say nothing. She didn't look at me, just ignored me. I called her about three times. I said, Shana, come here. I said it in a regular voice three times. And then I whispered, you want some ice cream? Yeah, Daddy. See, people hear what they want. Now, the things in the first 15 verses, that's something that wheat and tares alike would desire. Now, the part about, even the tare, they know that it's reasonable and customary to honor God. So they'll do that. But they also have a desire for the world too. They have a desire to be first, a desire to be blessed. See, verse 8 says, the Lord shall command blessings upon thee in thy storehouses. Yeah, we want that. Everybody, that's something everybody wants. And in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God give. Everybody in their right mind would want that. And tares would want it. Because it's going to make them blessed and better than others. See, motives is real. It's very interesting how this works. Let me jump down to verse 13. There's things that will appeal to every nation. Here's another one before I get to 13. Verse 12. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season. Everybody in their right mind will want that. Wheat and tares. And to bless all the work of thine hand. Oh, everybody will love that. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. That's right down the tares alley. And it's a good thing for the wheat, and the wheat should be this way. He's talking to the wheat, though. He's really not talking to tares at all. But tares will receive it as if he's talking to them, because they honor themselves, and they'll let God, they'll let anybody honor them, but they're not going to honor us. That's the problem. See, the word is broadcast, but people take it the way they'll take it. I was teaching Sunday school a few years ago, and I said, you know, if I could learn, if I had to lose everything God ever taught me and keep one thing, it would be when I asked him to teach me how to love his people. I said, I learned more from the Lord than asking the Lord to teach me how to love people. Because now I'm in covenant agreement with God about something that love is his language. Love wants to serve. I wanted to serve people. When he first called me to the ministry, I said, I'll never charge to preach. I want to preach. I'll preach wherever he'll let me preach. Anybody that want to hear, I'm going to honor Jesus. After he finally got worked on me and to where I had a desire to preach, but I wasn't interested in preaching until I saw God would give me a message. And then I got interested. But some people would think, would have believed, or see, people judge others the way that they judge themselves or the way that they think. A proud man will see an upcoming young man that loves to preach. Oh, he wants a following for himself. Because that's what they want. They want praise, so he wants praise too. That's the last thing that I hated. I didn't want praise. I wanted to honor Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I draw all men unto me. Now, Andrew Womack cleared that up. He said, if he be lifted up on the cross. Now, I took it this way. If somebody honored Jesus, you know, and that's true. I believe both is true. Because he was lifted up on the cross, and he did draw all men unto him. And here we are. Nations have came from people who hear the Lord, word of the Lord. But I wanted to do it for pure reasons, to help people get saved. But see, a proud mind can't, it don't think that high. It can't. It only thinks in preeminence, pride, and yeah, that's all the treasures, the proud mind. I'm talking about the proud mind. And that's what ends up in the bosom of tares. They become proud. Now watch this part, verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. See, that's the condition. But the wheat will have no problem with that. But the proud, they're so infatuated with the first part that they'll say amen to all of it, focusing on the first part. Because they're already approved. It's a good thing to honor God. You're supposed to. You're an outcast if you don't. So we'll just go along with that part. But they really are infatuated with the first part. That God is going to make me the head and not the tail. They already qualified themselves. They don't see their faults. That's how the lukewarm church, that's how the Pharisees and the Sadducees was. That's how the kings of Israel was. They went rogue like Herod. They always approve themselves. Whatever I do is good. And God don't care. But they're wrong. God is judging the hearts of men. Now watch this. I gave you that illustration. Now I want to give you more examples. Let's look at, let's see, is that 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John? It may be 2nd John. 3rd John. See, yeah, here it is. That was a guy named Diotrephes. let's go to verse 1. This is now this is John writing, the same one who wrote Revelation, 3 John chapter 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. You see that? He, Gaius, his soul prospered because he loved, he was in He was in covenant with God. He loved the principles of God. And the principles of God is what causes you to be wealthy in every way, not just money. Verse 3 says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth." Proud people don't walk in truth, folks. Only covenant people walk in truth. Never forget that. Only the weak will walk in truth. Verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You know, when you take your children to church all your life, and they get grown, and they get their own car, their own house, and they go to church and nobody has to tell them to, and they serve in the church because they want to be there, and they get involved, you know that their heart is pure. Only pure-hearted people do that. They care about what's right. Now, some people, they grow up and stay out of trouble, but when children become adults and they go to church on their own, nobody got to make them go. Nobody got to wake them up on Sunday morning or Wednesday evening or whenever church is in play. They go. I've been going to church all my life. I've seen it all kind of ways. Some people will go if they don't have nothing to do. Some people will go. They love God. They'll act right wherever they go, but they're not going to go out of their way to serve God. I mean, they just stay out of trouble. They want to be raptured. They want to, you know, some people are that way. Some people think that church ain't worth their time anymore. Some people didn't want to go when their parents made them go. And then when they crash, they go, they have, they, you know, it was, they're like the prodigal son. You know, I shouldn't have done that. I need to go back. What am I doing out here? Eating this hog slop. Why am I here? Why? And then they cry out to the Lord and get their mind right. I've seen it all kind of ways. And I said, and my prayer was that my children would love God. I said, "Lord, I want, there's a lot of things I could be asking for, and I ask for whatever I need." I said, "But one thing I want more than anything, I want my children to love you, all of them. Not just be a, I just want them to love God." And you know, that's very important. Okay, he said, so John said the same thing here. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." He said this as an apostle, as a man that labored in the ministry. And people come, they're his spiritual children, and they're walking in truth. And nobody's got to, "Hey, call them on the phone. Hey, did you read the scriptures today?" No, I'm not going to do that to grown folks. If the Lord puts something on my heart, I'll do it. I told my children when they were very young, I said, "Look, as your father, I love God, and I'm going to teach you to the best of my ability. But when you get grown, if God puts something on my heart, I'll give it to you, I'll tell you. But I recognize the fact that you're grown, and sometimes you're just going to have to ask. I'm not going to butt in your life, because this has to be from your heart. And I don't need you to put on a show for me. Some people love God and some people don't. But when you look out in the world, you see what's going on, and the people that choose not to love God's ways and do his word, they have problems, and they're not happy people. I said, don't take my word for you. Look for yourself. But people who love God and honor him, and they do what's right because it's right, they are the ones that do well in life. They are the ones that God that Moses was talking to, and they are the ones God was addressing in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verses 1 through 14. Now, verses 15 to the rest of 28, he was talking to the tares, the wicked, and they're always about. So just because a church is doing well, now, that could be churches that have no tares in it, hopefully. And the tares won't, when the church is awake and alive, the tares can't dig in and grow roots in a church like that. They only come in when people are sleeping. But let's continue on. John said it again, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity." See, charity is love in action. "Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou do well. Because because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Now they're laboring to get people saved without taking reward, without receiving tithes, because Gentiles didn't pay tithes until much later on, until they were trained, until they had a relationship with God. And they didn't give offerings either. So I'm going to read verse 7 again. Because that for his name's sake, Jesus, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. He said, verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now watch this part. This is very curious, verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Now he didn't want people like John around. He wanted the preeminence. He wanted to be the head and not the tail, without service, without dedication. They have too many people that way. And they go to every church or wherever they can get away with stuff. But churches that are alive to God and awake, when tares come to churches like that, they hear the word. And when they hear the word uncompromised, they don't like it. And so what has happened is a lot of preachers have caught on to that. And what we want as many numbers as we can get. God is so merciful. And that people believe that lie. God is so merciful. He don't care. He cares. And he's looking at the heart of man. And everybody who die and they're not sincere, they go to hell. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we preached in your name. We cast out devils in your name. Did miracles. And he'll turn and say, I never knew you. You work iniquity. Now, see, when he said he never knew you, that I was taught at one time in my early church life that once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't be lost. Okay. That sounds good on paper, but it's not true. All you have to do to clear that up is read 2 Peter chapter 2 and also Jude. It's the same book. The Holy Spirit gave it to two people, two witnesses. Second Peter, and then Jude. Now, when I believed it because it said he never knew them, which meant to me that they never got saved, which is true. But also there's tares. The Laodicean church, they became tares. They once was authentic Christians. They asked the Lord to save them. They were washed in the blood. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But they also loved the world and they became the enemy of God. So last year, or it was a few years before that, I remember doing this about 2 or 3 years ago. I said, Lord, I need a picture of a Laodicean type person. And then like what you were saying in John, I think it was, or Matthew, that he had turned to many and say, I never knew you. Now, there's a difference. The Laodicean church obviously was people that came to the Lord at one, because Jesus was addressing them as the church. But something happened. He's also talking about spitting them out. So I said, Lord, I want you to give me a visual of this. Who is like the Laodicean church and who is like those you never knew? And you know what he gave me? One was Saul, King Saul, while he was David hunting. He was trying to kill and murder David. And then that was Doeg. Now, Saul, in his proud state of debauchery, backslidden king, who once loved God, who was chosen to be the king of Israel and blessed by God for a long time, he's the one who said to the priest, he found out that the priest gave David showbread. Now the priest had already said he thought that David was still at peace with, he didn't know about the rift that Saul had against David. He thought he was still a general. See, in those times you didn't have television and radio. You might not get a news feed of any sort for a very long time. So all this happened at once. David was in the king's palace. Jonathan shot the arrows, warned him to leave. He left. In those days, you know, he came about and he ate the showbread, of course. And Doeg the Edomite saw him. So Saul, in his drunken stupor, asked him, and he wasn't drunk with wine, he was drunk with pride and rage. He ordered all his men to kill the priest. Not just a few, but many of them. I think it was 60-something or 80. I forgot. But I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. You don't kill God's men. You don't kill priests. And the men in Saul's ranks wouldn't do it. We're not doing that. You can kill me. I ain't killing no priest. They wouldn't do it. But Doeg the Edomite did. Doeg the Edomite had no qualms with killing the priest. You got to look at this. They were like the ones that the Lord said, you work iniquity. Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We work miracles. We preached. But yet, that was murder in their heart. They were the kind of people you don't trust. Now, so the Laodicean church is like Saul. They won't repent. And I can't put Saul in heaven because he never repented. He asked David to secure his family, but he didn't repent himself. He still wanted pride. He begged an Amalekite to kill him because he didn't want the Philistine king to make fun of him. He fell on his own sword. When he got wounded, he didn't die. He fell on his own sword. That didn't work. Then an Amalekite came along. See, the Lord is showing us the heart of people. And there are people, they approve themselves, but they won't repent from their ways. And they became tares. And Saul was more, he gave the order. Now, Doeg didn't do nothing. He didn't bother nobody till Saul said something. Then Doeg carried it out by himself. So there are different types of tares. Some of them were saved at one point, and some of them never got saved. And that cleared that up for me. And it